Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
With Joseph Umeyer, the executive director of Secure Free Society, back from the road, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, back from on the road. Gentlemen, a good evening to you. There's random trouble, so we're going to begin with the unknowns of Honduras. Joseph, you've been there for these last days, and the last time we spoke of Honduras, a Central American republic, now under President Castro, the wife of a former president, now having turned its attention from Taipei to Beijing. Last time we spoke, a former president was on trial in the United States for drug running circumstances. He was a man who was identified with helping the U.S. and the DEA for many years. Your visit to Tegucigalpa, did you learn any more about this trial, and is it significant for President Castro? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Good evening, John. The trial was on television every day while I was in Honduras. So everyone was with their eyes glued to New York. I didn't follow it that closely because actually I was there for another reason. I'll talk about that in a second. But in essence, the main impression that I got was that the government of Honduras, which is against the former president, Juan Orlando Hernandez. He comes from the National Party of Honduras, and the current government comes from the Liberal Party, which is a more leftist Marxist party, socialist party. And so they were looking to capitalize on that, on the trial, on the narrative, to basically try to break the opposition that exists, the National Party being the main political party in opposition to Libre. It didn't seem that it was going that well for the government in terms of trying to use this as a propaganda, mostly because the trial didn't seem to be as eventful as they might have hoped. Matter of fact, a lot of the evidence that was presented by the prosecutors seemed to be a little flimsy, to be honest with you. One of the star witnesses was a convicted narco trafficker, and he actually was being accused of murdering a bunch of people, so his credibility was in question. It was definitely on the TV in Honduras. It was definitely in the newspapers and was kind of the talk of the political circles. But in reality, John, I was there for another reason. The main reason I was in Honduras, and this is going to be part of a video that we're going to release on our YouTube channel relatively soon, also part of a report that we'll be putting together relatively soon, and in a continuation of a podcast that we did that we talked about previously on the show about a company called Prospera, which is on the island of Roatan. And one of the things I wanted to see while I was in Honduras is why is the Honduran government, the socialist government of Xiomara Castro, so adamant about attacking this one U.S. investment, Prospera, on Roatan Island. And so I went to Roatan to check it out, to see, is this a legitimate investment? And it was very impressive. It's about 1,000 acres on the island, and it's still in development, but they seem to be doing a lot of work. But then I actually traveled to the other coast of Honduras, to the Pacific coast, and I went to a specific port called the Port of San Lorenzo. And why that was important, and this will be explained in more detail in the video and in the reports, but why that was important was because China has signed agreements with Honduras, and we have to remember that Honduras is the last country to break diplomatic relations with Taiwan in favor of China. That happened in March of last year. The president of Honduras, Xiomara Castro, has taken subsequent trips to Beijing, and Honduras is now officially part of the Belt and Road Initiative. And one of those efforts is essentially to build a transoceanic railway, essentially an alternative to the Panama Canal that would connect the Pacific to the Caribbean and the Atlantic. And so that project's now begun. And so the port authorities in Honduras have an agreement with Chinese state-owned enterprises to create, expand the ports to be able to start this project. And the railway, while it hasn't been officially built, it was actually announced last week, the plan that the government has to do it. Curiously, when the government of Xiomara Castro has announced the plan, they're not really talking about China. China's the one financing this, but they don't really mention it much. They're trying to downplay China's role. And that's why I went, because I wanted to see how involved China was in this whole effort to build this transoceanic railway, how involved they are in Honduras in general, and how much they are in essence, influencing the Honduran government. And what I came away with is that they're heavily influencing the Honduran government. In fact, this railway, more than anything, it's much of like the BRI projects around the world. It's a important endeavor, not for commerce, which, you know, could be for that too, but mostly for military positioning, because where they want to start this railway on the Pacific side is on an island called Ampala. Ampala does not have the infrastructure for massive commercial shipping. What it does have is a naval base, and that during the Cold War was important to be able to stop the Soviets from its logistical and financial and armament support to the Sandinistas in Nicaragua and the FMLN in El Salvador. This island is in a place called the Gulf of Fonseca, which is along the Pacific coast, and it's a maritime tri-border between El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua. And that's specifically the port in which the Chinese are financing to expand to build this new railway, which to me has a lot of indications that they're potentially interested in using this port as a potential source destination for military vessels should they invade Taiwan. So that was my purpose of going there. We're going to have more details about it. But the takeaway, John, was that China has a very stealthy presence in Honduras. Well, I'll mention one thing that really caught my attention, because they have a formal relationship now with Honduras. They, you know, they have diplomatic recognition. However, their embassy is not a formal embassy. Their embassy is in a hotel. It's in a suite in a hotel. It's very hidden. They don't seem to be advertising the presence of that embassy much. We found it by research, and it kind of was it kind of was symbolic of how China is operating in Ecuador. I mean, sorry, in Honduras, as trying to have a very low profile, but in reality, they have a very active presence and are influencing heavily the Honduran government.
Ernesto, I ask your experience as foreign minister and been involved in foreign policy ever since. Does China maintain a low profile throughout the continent, or is this unusual, what Joseph is reporting?
No, John, I think it's unusual, which is gives us to think about it. In Brazil, at least, they have a very high profile. Chinese embassy is one of the most sought after tickets in Brasilia. People want to be there, and they distribute all sorts of let's say sympathy with dinners, functions, and all of that. They want to show that they are there, and they are there with and that translates in their influence in government and in Congress especially. So yeah, I think it's strange, but they know how to operate differently in different countries. They are very adaptive. They know how to get to the elites in different countries in the West. Both developed countries or developing countries, this is more and more clear every day that China knows how to buy hearts and minds in whatever they go. I think that's very interesting what Joseph was telling. In the face of some news that I saw today that the Biden administration is trying to replace Chinese port equipment in the U.S. with Japanese-made or American-made port equipment because they realized that they might, I mean, suffer from external interference, because of course everything today is linked to the internet and all that. So suddenly, even if the American ports are not don't belong to the Chinese, the equipment there, if it's Chinese-made, it might create lots of problems. At the same time, the Chinese are a few 100 miles from the U.S. coast in Honduras, like Joseph was describing, thinking about a military slash commercial port. If you look at the big picture, which I tried to do when I was a foreign minister, and now many people don't in Brazil. But you see China and their friends more and more controlling all the choke points in maritime transportation around the world. Suez, Hormuz, the Malacca Straits, of course. And now they're investing in some alternatives to the Panama Canal in order to maybe also choke Panama Canal if there's a outspread war in the, well, Bab el Mandeb in between the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea, where they have the Chinese base in Djibouti. So, I mean, they're playing the same politics everywhere in different ways. Central America, Africa, the Mediterranean, Asia, of course. And some people are not realizing that sort of big picture. And if you allow me another observation, a historic observation regarding Central America as a whole, I think Central America is in turmoil like never before since the 80s and 90s with the civil wars. And the source of instability in Central America seems to be the same as at that time. Cuba, Russia, that time Soviet Union, and China, right? China maybe more than now. So, of course, Cuba is still in socialist hands, Nicaragua as well. Guatemala has gone to the left. Honduras has gone to the left. El Salvador, well, some, let's say, pro-conservative policies, but some strange alliances here and there. So it's a big game. It's not a localized game. And I think more people in the U.S. should pay attention to that.
Joseph, just quickly about Central America, Ernesto making the excellent observation. Panama is seeing its income decline because of the drop in the Suez Canal, because of the drought, and because they've shut down their copper mine. But most importantly, I report, it's in the AP reporting today, at the San Vicente camp, which is a gathering place after you come out of the Darien Gap, headed to the Mexican-Texas border, the southern border of the U.S., there was an attack on a centerfront facility, destroying computers. No explanation right now. That is the camp that's also known as the Chinese camp, where the number of Chinese nationals are coming in have markedly increased over these last months, and they're vastly more than they were in 23 and 22. Have you heard anything about why military-aged Chinese males by themselves are coming through the Darien Gap? Does that make any sense to you, Joseph?
Okay, a couple of things real quick. One, just a quick reference to what Ernesto was saying about Cuba. Actually, in fact, while I was in Honduras last week, one of the lesser-known news items that did get reported but not a lot of attention was there was 96 Cuban doctors that arrived in Honduras last week as part of these medical brigades that are infamous, and specifically in Brazil, because President Bolsonaro actually kicked them out of Brazil when they found out that, one, they were a form of human slavery, indentured servitude, because the way they paid those doctors was peanuts. And two, a lot of them turned out to be very tied to the Cuban intelligence services. They were spies. So that's actually now in Honduras. So I just wanted to make that point really quick. And to your question, John, about Panama, you know, I think in Central America is now, I think, in the eye of the storm of Iran, of Russia, of China, because they've pretty much overtaken South America. You know, when they were able to get rid of President Bolsonaro in Brazil, they were able to install President Petro in Colombia, you know, Peru, Chile, and shift Latin, South America more to the left. They feel very comfortable there, but they haven't been able to do that in Central America, and I think they're looking at it now. And I think Panama, everything that you're seeing, whether it's the protests that we saw last year because of the mining company, the drought that's basically slowing down the traffic through the canal, the migration that's passing through the Darien Gap, and you know this camp that got burnt last week or last weekend, all that is really, to me, preparatory conditions for essentially to start to drive higher levels of economic instability on the Panama Canal that would hurt global shipping and then also hurt U.S. trade. And that's the purpose of this inter-oceanic railway, because if China can actually build an alternative to the Panama Canal, they would rely on it least, they will rely on it less, and any damage to it would actually hurt the U.S. much more than it hurts China. So that's kind of what I see. And then what happened with the camp in the Darien Gap, I mean, this was kind of, it's going to continue to happen because the rates of migration are too high. A lot of these unsavory characters are coming into those camps. They're experts at acts of sabotage. So I wouldn't discount that burning could be an act of sabotage. As you mentioned, they took away some of the records that were in the camp. And there's obviously some interest of certain actors to conceal the movements of some of these folks that are coming through the Darien Gap and through Central America and onto the U.S. southern border.
Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society, Ernesto Araújo, former Foreign Minister of the Republic of Brazil. When we come back, the tragedy of the Western Hemisphere, Haiti. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.